We're all living in a time of high stress and anxiety. And while there are many ways people have found solace and maintained sanity during this time, going for brief walks, hikes, and run outside, with the proper social distancing, of course, has been a great outlet. So if that's how you're choosing to get away from things for a bit, then Allbirds has something that might help. Introducing the Tree Dasher from Allbirds, the world's first performance running shoe made from premium natural materials that are engineered to perform. FSC-certified eucalyptus fiber uppers and ZQ-certified merino wool deliver superior comfort and flexibility, and their proprietary sugarcane-derived sweet foam soles have been reworked into a dual-density midsole optimized for cushioning, energy return, and stability. Allbirds also printed the Dasher's carbon footprint right on the shoe, so you know its impact on the planet. They've made the environment a stakeholder in their business, because when the planet wins, we all win. With the new Allbirds Tree Dasher, feel confident knowing that you can run hard and tread light on the planet. Find your pair at Allbirds.com today.
What's up, boys? Welcome in to the local hour. Tony, Roy, Billy, Chris, Greg, Cody, the rest of the regular Tuesday crew. Boys, have you ever had something that you've wanted to do yet don't know how to do it? So yeah. I'll explain with my example. Mm-hmm. I was cooking dinner yesterday. And I had this thought of, you know what I want to do? I've always had this classic car in mind that I feel like when I'm old, that's the car I'm going to have, like a little, you know, a little project, right? A passion project. So I was like, you know what? Let me look it up on Google, see what's going on, see what the price range is. So I found it. It's a 1984 Mercedes 380 SL Roadster with a hardtop convertible and a softtop convertible. It's only like a two-seater. And I was like, you know what? Let me buy a fixer-upper kind of one in the 8-9 grand region, and then I can restore it and make it into something really cool. The only problem is I've never worked on a car in my entire life and don't know where to start whatsoever. So that's my issue right now. I want to, you know, renovate this car, and I have no idea how.
That is an example of something that I would have no idea how to do. I'm like the worst car. I guarantee you, I take your car knowledge, and I guarantee you mine is worse. But I feel like planting stuff, like having a green thumb, is something recently that I've tried to get into that I really don't have any expertise on. But doing car work, that sounds incredibly tough.
Wait, so then my wife – go ahead, Billy.
So you bought this car?
No. I haven't bought it. So what I did was I was doing some investigative work on it just to see what the price points were, just to see in what condition these cars would be in. So again, this is all with my wife not home. All of a sudden, she's calling me, hey, I'm on my way home. I'm like, okay, listen, I have something to tell you. It's not anything bad. I just want to run something by you and see if this is something that could maybe work. As she came in, I showed her the car. I showed her all the stuff that I want to do. And she's like, you literally have no idea how to do any of that. Why would we spend $10,000 on a car that, one, we can't park at our garage, two, you don't know how to fix, and three, you're not going to pay for the insurance on? So it was quickly dissolved, like very quickly.
It does seem like an expensive hobby.
It does. No, for sure. And and I don't know exactly where it came from, but I love that car and I've always wanted to have it. And then I was like, you know what? Let me just check the prices. And then as I saw more and more of them that were cheaper in that 9-10,000 range, I was like, damn, I can do this. I can watch some YouTube videos, but that's me just being completely out of my mind. My wife quickly had to take me back down to earth. And I was like, all right, so you're going to pay for the insurance, you're going to pay for the monthly payment, you're going to pay for the extra spot in the garage, like all these things, right? And I was like, nah, you're right. I guess not. And then we're trying to buy a house. It's a lot. And I think I was going through like a late 20s crisis. I think that's what it was.
I mean, that's perfect though. Once you get the house, then you have the spot for the car. You don't need the garage. If you don't drive it, you don't really need insurance for it. If you're just working on it. I think you're headed in the right direction to get this car
project. I am. It's maybe like a 10-year project. Hmm. Like in the next 10 years, the house, you know, you can fix it up. I can learn how to do stuff. I think I'm on the right track.
I'll tell you this much. My old car before I have my current one was a 1996 Honda Civic, and I had it forever. And I was driving it until it was like, man, I feel like I drove it until like 2017 or something, right? Or no. Yeah, something like that. I was driving it forever, super old. It runs, but basically that's it. The air was kind of sketchy. The windows are like, you know, motorized, but they were like, sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. Yeah. So like we replaced all of those. Like I changed all of those out with my dad, which was fine. And then one of them broke again. And I'm like, is this the one that I didn't fix? Because I still have one of the kits, like, at my parents' house because I know I fixed all of them except one, which must be that one, but it was like the driver's one. It was horrible. I bought like a little like fan that I would plug into like the cigarette lighter just to keep things like somewhat cool in the car at times. It was really bad. So anyway, when I switched over and I got the car that I currently have, the obvious thing to do is get rid of that car, right? Because what do I need at, you know, almost 30-year-old car at this point, right? But I told myself, you know what? This is going to be a project. Me and my dad, we're going to fix up this car. We're going to, you know, do things. It's been sitting there for years, like just in the
driveway. At your parents' house?
Yeah. Just sitting there for like years. Just like doesn't turn on anymore. Like, but it's the project I'm going to get to. So you and I are kindred spirits in that sense where like we both want to like fix up a car. But I'm kind of thinking like, do I want to fix it up just so that it runs or do I want to make it like a Tokyo Drift car, you know what I mean? And like put on like lights and all this stuff. I feel like I should just focus on getting it running first and then do all of the fun stuff afterwards. But let's be real. If you get this car of yours, it's going to be like my car where it's just sitting around for like years, like just collecting dust and God knows what else it's collecting inside of there.
So I have something for you. Remember how yesterday we were talking about the thing that we can do together to get us out of our wives' things? The car. I can't do it. Billy's coming over. We're going to fix the car.
Ooh, but okay.
And we have it in a shared location, maybe in like a storage unit or like, oh, we got to go to the storage unit to start fixing the car.
Wow. What if we get a storage unit and we just say that there's cars there, but there's not. And we just set up like two couches and like a TV and that's chill. I would say that we can never say like, oh, Ant's coming over to work on it because then like you'd have to be seen. You can't say that.
Right.
It's always, I got to go help Ant work on his car. Oh, I got to, Billy's installing a muffler today. I got to help him out. He doesn't know what he's doing. The guy's such an idiot, but I'll show him. Don't worry. I looked it up. I watched the YouTube. I know how to do this. Don't worry.
We need a lot of like motor oil to put on our hands. So when we come back, the evidence is there of, man, you know, it's a tough day today. We changed the oil on the car. It didn't work. A lot of stuff was crazy. Boom, greasy hands.
This is coming together very nicely.
Tony, do you have that one friend besides Billy that is like just annoyingly good with cars? I feel like everybody has that one friend that is just like they're so into cars. They've been into cars their whole life. They could do everything with cars. Like you need that friend because there's people like us that don't really know shit about cars.
For sure. You do need those friends. I don't know if I personally have those friends. My brother-in-law is kind of like a do-it-all. He can do everything. So that's the person I'd probably lean on to fix or help fix something. But no, I run in a crew of people that don't know cars, that can't fix their own mistakes or their own problems. Not that kind of group.
Do we have any, Roy, are you a car expert? Who's the most car knowledgeable person here? Greg, you're not that car knowledgeable. So don't even try to insert yourself into this conversation.
Well, I've never changed my own oil, if that's the litmus test. I fix a car by taking it to a garage and having qualified people fix it. You know, you guys are discussing something that is a tremendous money pit. You know, just to like, if you buy a beat up car and you want to fix it up, just to change the upholstery on the interior is going to cost like thousands of dollars if you do it right. It's just a money pit. I looked into once, my neighbor was selling an old Pontiac Firebird that had once been a pace car in the Indianapolis 500, a really nice old muscle car. And, I fancied the idea of buying it and fixing it up. I pictured it like a gleaming cherry red and everything, but I happen to be married to someone who talked me out of it, and it was probably a good idea.
Now, we're not investing in it, though, Greg. Me and Ant, we're going to go to Joanne Fabrics. We're going to get the fabric that we want, and we'll do the upholstery ourselves. We'll handle all of that stuff. We want to get our hands dirty, whether we're actually getting our hands dirty or just pretending to get our hands dirty so that we can kind of just get away and get, you know, a little chill time. You know what I mean, Greg?
Okay, I can buy that. So you're going to share this car. You're going to have a 50% interest?
Well, technically, yes.
Well, I don't know. I thought we each had our own cars in this situation. We're still working this out. You know, baby steps.
He's got his. I've got mine.
Whose ding did I hear, by the way? I heard a ding. I love a morning ding. Who's got something ready?
It might have been me. I'm not sure.
Love a morning toaster ding. Anyways,
there's activity in the Gill household this morning.
Roy, what's your car expertise? Are you the biggest car person here?
Why would I have any expertise? I could just take my car to a mechanic.
There you go. That's how. Yeah.
No, but that's the thing. That's the thing. Listen, I don't want to besmirch the good name. Let me rephrase that. I don't want to besmirch the name of mechanics, but mechanics, not all super trustworthy. You need to find one that you can trust. You need to kind of find a friend that's a mechanic that you know is not going to – there's not going to be any funny business there. In fact, I'd like to, with your guys' help, I've always thought of myself as someone that like is somewhat of a forward thinker. And I used to think I want to have kids that, you know, can do things like a kid that's a mechanic, a kid that's like an electrician, a kid that's whatever. If for no other reason than just because I know I can trust them and then like I won't have to go out looking for like a mechanic or an electrician or whatever. So like I'd like to start with your guys' help. An open casting. I'd like for us to have start a group of friends, almost like the Village People, where we just have a bunch of tradesmen, right? So like we'll have a mechanic friend and we'll have a plumber and an electrician. And like we can think of whatever positions it is that we want, but these will be our friends that are trustworthy and it'll be our go-to group of tradesmen that will handle things for us in times of need, right? I mean, if you guys don't want in on this, that's fine. But I'd like to do this so that we have almost like a, you know what we'll call it? Greg's List. We'll have a Greg's List of
people
in different areas. And then that'll be our recommended like, oh, I need a, you know, whatever, someone, electrician. We'll get an electrician in or a plumber. Oh, what's Greg's List? And then Greg will have his person that we trust. And we know that this is someone that's trustworthy and isn't going to, no funny business. You know, what do you guys think?
I think it's a good idea, actually. We sort of do that in life. I don't know about you guys, but like if I need some serious work done on my sprinkler system, for example, I don't want to just call somebody out of the Yellow Pages. Not that anybody uses Yellow Pages anymore. The first thing I do is ask around. I ask people I know, hey, do you know a good sprinkler guy? And that's sort of what you're talking about, right, Billy, where you want somebody you trust, somebody in your circle of trust who does this particular expertise. I think that's a good idea. The other thing that occurs to me is that, you know how you hear about people who adopt a lot of kids? I feel like earlier in my life, what I should have done is adopted like five or six different kids and taught them all a different trade. Like one of my kids would be a plumbing AC expert. You know, another would be an expert in this field, a mechanic. And literally, I would be raising an entire community of tradesmen who could then, you know, work for me while I love them and feed them. Don't get me wrong, but they would be useful to me in addition to just being my foster kid.
Doesn't sound if that's what they wanted to do, of course, is what
of
you're
course.
Saying.
Like, oh, of course.
Yeah, naturally. Kid that wanted to be.
Yeah, of course. Change the subject.
You know, you had two kids and we're like, both of us are like the least handy people ever. So you just like thought.
I know, I failed.
The next kids you'll do it with.
How will your kids help you later on in life, that's Greg, as you see them now?
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's a scary question. I don't know. I don't know. I'm actually counting on my daughter-in-law more than I'm counting on.
I got your back, bro.
Okay.
Got you.
All right. Okay. We'll see.
Well, Chris can help you with your podcast, The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, Greg, who do you have on this week?
Oh, wow. It's funny you should ask. I don't know if you've met this guy. He's an ESPN guy, Miami-based, actually. Dan Levitard is his name. And he and his dad sort of pegged to Father's Day. He and his dad, Poppy, of course, were.
You have the Poppy Levitard on?
Yes, an exclusive interview. Poppy's first interview since walking out on the highly questionable show. We get into why he quit the show and whether he might come back and stuff like growing up Levitard. You know, interesting conversation, actually.
Is he coming back?
I won't tell. You got to listen to the podcast.
Ah, God, that's good. You're good.
So when we're putting together Greg's List, should we have some sort of competition so that we know that people's abilities are up to par so that we're not recommending people that aren't good at their jobs for things? Because I don't know what – like, do we then intentionally – oh, and I got it. For the mechanic portion of this – we'll have them fix the cars for us to see if they can fix the cars.
And then they're fixed.
Exactly. And then two birds with one stone. Fixed cars. We know who's trustworthy. We can recommend them to friends. Now, do we break each other's air conditioners to figure out who's good at fixing air, or how do we do that?
So these people have to compete to earn our business. Is that what you're saying?
Well, not compete, but it's kind of like, you know, if we're
trial through fire, basically,
if we're giving out referrals, we can't just on name alone, you know, just say, hey, this person's great at whatever, because then what if they're not great at whatever? And then the people that we're recommending them to are like close friends or listeners or whatever. And then they're let down and then they feel betrayed by us. Our good name is on the line along with the good names of, you know, the air conditioner repairman here.
What are the top five things for the Greg's List? Like the top five occupations? Mechanic is one.
Yeah, auto mechanic. I would say plumbing and AC tend to be linked, right? It's usually like plumbing slash AC.
Well, sure. You got to just have a good old-fashioned handyman that can just do it all.
Handyman, yeah.
Right, carpentry, small carpentry, I would say. Like Christopher just had somebody come over and fix a fence gate. You know, you need somebody like that.
What had to be fixed on the gate? How do you fix a gate? It's just a hinge?
It was the wood. Like, our fence is old. That's a whole nother story that I want to get a new fence completely. But our gate is, like, really old. So it just got so wet that it literally fell off the hinges. And we had to get a new door. And we got something from the HOA. They're like, hey, you got to fix your door. So I was like, all right, I'll fix my door. And I don't want to do it myself. So I paid some guy, like, $120 and he did it.
That seems like something that is manageable, though, but for most people.
Dude, like I could have if I did it, but like I had to build a gate and then like attach the hinges. Yes, it could have been done, but that's a project, man.
Greg, could you picture Chris Cody, your son, building a gate and a fence on his own on Saturdays? Just there, no shirt, hitting a piece of wood into another piece of wood and like forming a fence. Could you ever see that in your life?
No. I don't want to throw Christopher under the bus here, but let's put it this way. I go over to his house, I don't know, not that often, once every few weeks maybe, and I keep looking for progress in the backyard because he has these great dreams of turning his backyard into this, you know, this wonderland, and I keep looking for signs of progress, and they're slow coming, I gotta say that.
Has he done anything with the pineapple you bought him yet, or did that just, you know, rot somewhere?
Well, I think you ate the pineapple, I hope, but I just...
Unbelievable.
Well, first of all, I was like, get out of here with this crap, this pineapple crap. I want an actual pineapple plant. And now I actually do. Remember a couple, like last week on the Local Hour, I called him out on having three pineapple plants at his house, yet not giving me one. He actually gave me one. So now I have a pineapple plant out there. It's acclimating to the environment. I'm going to plant it this weekend. And,
I mean, before he gave you a gift greater than a pineapple plant, he gave you a pineapple that you could birth into its own pineapple plant. He gave you limitless potential. Yeah. Well, I guess there's a limit. It could only turn it into a pineapple tree. But he gave you potential and said you wanted the easy route and you just wanted the pineapple tree.
Yeah, it was delicious.
Very disappointing, by the way.
I would say lawyer needs to be another person on Greg's list.
Wow, yeah.
You need to have a good lawyer. Somebody's going to help you out in times of trouble.
Yes.
By the way, in terms of fences, after a hurricane, I don't remember how long ago it was, but a hurricane came, knocked down my parents' like wood fence. So me and my dad built a gate to replace a broken gate one.
I should have just hired you.
Well, so here's the thing about it. When you go to put the, you know, the post in the ground, you need to put it like 6 feet deep or whatever it is that you put it into the ground, right? So it's like giant pieces of wood that you need to put in there. But to put it in, you need to dig the hole, number one. You need to put in the cement. The problem is when you're going to put something where it was before, you need to get out the old like 3 feet or whatever it is of cement. So we had to rent a jackhammer at Home Depot. And we're there and we're jackhammering the stuff to break up the cement and we're trying to get the wood out of there. The thing like destroyed my back. It weighs like hundreds of pounds, whatever it is. And then just the constant motion of going up and down just destroys your back. So we've done it, but it's not a fun thing to do. And it's dangerous too. I mean, somewhat dangerous.
I imagine my hands hurt just thinking about a jackhammer. I imagine it's vibrating the whole time. Like, am I thinking of the wrong tool?
No, jackhammer.
Ow, like my hand. Like,
well, you put on like worker gloves or whatever, and right. You know, you put it on. I will tell you this though, you feel really accomplished when you're doing it, especially if it's like a hot day and you put on a tank top because it's like going up and down, and then you're like looking at the guns as the sun is hitting them and the sweat's dropping down your arms. You're like,
you put some music on? Did you put some music on?
No, you can't hear music. It's so loud.
I'm just saying, there's nothing like doing stuff outside, like yard work or stuff like that, and then just having some tunes on in the background.
Well, the thing is that the fence is down, so basically, like, the street is there, you know what I mean? And it's like, you know, there's people driving by and your neighbors are there. So it's not like you're just in your yard. You're basically doing this in the street and you're making enough noise as it is with the jackhammer and disrupting everybody's pleasant weekend as it is. And you're like, let me just, and then you're on the clock because you're like, well, I rented this from Home Depot, but I rented it for 4 hours. Oh man, I rented it for 8 hours. I'm going to get this done in 4 hours. And then it's like raining. You're like, it's crunch time. I got to get this thing back in time because I'm going to pay like $200 to rent this for another 4 hours. Like it was like $5 for the first 4 hours. And if it's late, it's like $8,000. Like I got to get this in time, man. I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm there. And my back is like, horrible. So maybe we're smart to hire someone to do this.
You can rent a jackhammer from Home Depot?
Oh yeah, you can rent jackhammers, pressure cleaners. You can rent lifts. I've often wanted to rent a lift from Home Depot because my parents have this giant oak tree in front of the house. And for Christmas a couple years ago, I was like, oh, we should like light up this tree, right? So we got these giant like snowflakes and different things, right? And we did it 1 year and we rented like this, like 40-foot ladder to get to the top of the tree. And we're going up and we're hanging with like fishing wire and we're wrapping around the extension cords and we had this whole thing. It looked great. It took like 2 days to do, but it was super dangerous because a lot of the things are like kind of pretty straight up. So like you're holding the ladder, making sure that it doesn't lean back or whatever. And it's like, we need to find a better way to do this because it's a whole ordeal. We have all of these lights now. I want to do it every year, but it's such a pain to put together, right? So I've always wanted to go rent a lift from Home Depot, like one of the, like the ones with like the big arm that puts you up. That's the dream, but every Home Depot doesn't have one. And then you need to find the right Home Depot that has one. And then you need to get the right thing because you need the name's escaping now, but you need to put it on like the hitch at the back of the car, right? So then my dad has a truck. So it's like he has a hitch, but he has the wrong size because there's different size balls. There's like a 2-inch ball and a 1-inch ball. And you need to get the right one for the right Home Depot. It's just a whole thing. So like the next year when we did it, the way that I did it, I basically was tying these things to a baseball and just throwing it over the branch over and over again until I was able to like wrap it around. And it looked like really bad the second year that we did it. And then the third year didn't exist. And it's kind of stopped ever since because it was such an ordeal and we haven't rented this lift yet. So if there's, listen, for Greg's list, if there's a lift person out there, ooh, I'm going to add you to this list. Now I only need you once a year twice to take it down, but for this very specific thing, but I'm looking for quality lift people here. Cause another thing I wanted to do was just rent a U-Haul and just stand on the top of the U-Haul and do this. And my dad's like, you cannot do that. You're going to fall through the top of the U-Haul. That's dangerous. That's not as sturdy as you think. I'm like, it'll be fine. We'll figure it out. And then he's like, well, like, what if you totally destroy a U-Haul? What are you going to do? I'm like, I'll just take it back to Frankie's Pizza and tell him that this is the way it was when I found it and we'll be good. There's 1,000 U-Hauls at Frankie's Pizza. That would be fine.
That's so inside. There's going to be people that are going to laugh at that. There's only going to be like 6 of us, but that's funny.
Guys, Frankie's Pizza, for those of you who don't know, also rents U-Hauls, and there's about 6,000 U-Hauls back there. I don't know how the U-Haul business works. I don't know how Frankie's Pizza became the place where you rent the U-Hauls, but there's so many U-Hauls at Frankie's Pizza of all sizes. If you ever need a U-Haul, Frankie's Pizza. First U-Hauls, thing on Greg's list.
Just U-Hauls?
Well, pizza too. You can get pizza there too. Yeah.
Roy, what's the most handy thing you've done around your house?
Yard work, I guess. building tables.
Oh, okay.
You built a table?
I mean, I didn't like chop up wood and then
IKEA
stuff. Right. Oh, you know what's one of the most handy things I've done? I'll move you guys over so you can see this table. Hold on, I got a new plant there too. That was
nice.
Cool. So you see that table with the wooden table right there?
Yeah, like a dining room table?
Yeah, it's like a gray dining room table, circular, maybe, you know, 3 feet in diameter around the whole circle. Mm-hmm. It used to be a stained wood. And what I did is I sanded it down with a sander, like an actual sanding machine, and then flattened it out and then painted over it with that gray paint. So that's probably the handiest thing I've ever done. Got the sander at Home Depot, was just sanding that sucker.
and then, you know, polished it over, did that clear coat, and then painted the gray, and it's probably one of the top achievements in my handy life.
But that's the perfect thing. That's what you tell your wife when she's like, you don't know how to do a table. You go, babe, I don't know how to fix a car. I don't know how to make a table. And look at this. We eat on it every night. Look, I can fix a car. You don't believe in me? Babe, you don't believe in me? Babe, you don't trust me?
She doesn't.
I was thinking earlier on, someone said it. When has anyone actually ever killed two birds with one stone? Why is that the saying? I feel like we could do better with that saying. Greg, you're old.
I have never killed one bird with a stone. So I don't know. I can't even wrap my head around that. I would like to know the origin of that phrase because it seems to make no sense. Why are you throwing stones at birds?
I've never killed a bird, period. Like, not right. With stones. With no, there's no way that I've ever killed a bird. I've never hunted. I've never done any of that to kill birds. What's the deal, Greg, with you're a wordsmith. You craft words for a living. What's the deal with all these phrases having to do with birds? Because a bird in a hand is worth two in the bush. Like, were birds a big deal back when people were coming up with sayings that everything's like, well, we need – how do we make this relatable? Oh, we'll talk about birds. Then people will get it.
Yeah, I think birds are fascinating because they've always been around, you know. The birds were around in biblical times. I mean, when cavemen were walking the earth, there were birds overhead squawking. But I love looking up the etymology of phrases because there's an origin to every cliche, to every phrase, like killing two birds with one stone. I don't know how that originated, but somewhere you can find out when was the first time that phrase appeared in print. You know, there's an actual way to trace that, and chances are to trace who first said it. It's fascinating.
What do you think will be the last animal to survive? Because you said that bird's been around forever, right? So, like, we're now in, like, an apocalyptic time where, like, all animals will be extinct and every, like, species is dying. Which will be the absolute last species you think that'll survive? Because if it's, like, you know, something happens where, you know, the water has risen and it's going to kill all the land animals, and birds would theoretically survive, right? Because they're up in the air. But if there's some sort of, like, I don't know, meteor thing or something, maybe, like, ants or insects would outlive other things. So what do you think will be the animal that lives life?
Well, you always hear that cockroaches will be the last living thing on Earth. But I find that hard to believe because, you know, I see a cockroach in my garage and I zap it with a little bit of bug spray and it's gone. You know, how durable can they really be when you can kill them with a little puff of spray? So I don't know. That's a good question for Ron McGill, I guess.
Why is it that everybody says that they can survive a nuclear blast, cockroaches, when Raid kills them? I feel like the nuclear blast is bigger than the Raid spray, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Well put.
Roy?
I don't know why you say my name.
Roy, how are things? How's Claire?
She's fine.
What'd you do this weekend for Father's Day?
We did nothing.
What's your favorite color?
Blue.
All right. That was Small Talk with Roy this week. Now let's head over to Chris Cody for Tua Talk.
Yeah, some talk. Guys, I have one reason why I think that this NFL season won't happen. It's because...
Coronavirus.
COVID.
Well, that would be the reason why. But the reason that that's going to end up happening is because something good happened to the Dolphins. And the NFL is like, we can't have that happen. The reason that they're going to cancel the season is because the Dolphins finally have a quarterback. They're like, wait, the Dolphins have a quarterback? Nope, enough. I don't cancel the season.
So this whole worldwide pandemic was started by the NFL to prevent the Dolphins from being good, even though it started well before the Dolphins drafted Tua.
Nail right on the head. Greg, your thoughts?
Checks out.
It makes sense to me. I have to tell you. By the way, speaking of Tua – did you know that Tua's favorite musical artist is Shania Twain, the country singer?
I saw that he was flirting with her. Well, I think in an interview he did, your favorite artist? And he said Shania, what was it?
Let's say he said Shania Twain for the sake of this making sense.
No, it's because he said it was guilty. I know what it was. He said he was asked what his guilty pleasure music is. And he said Shania Twain. And she tweeted at him saying, guilty pleasure? I should be just someone you like. And he's like, ooh. And then he said that she was his crush. So basically, they're going to end up getting married, long story short.
Isn't she old enough to be his mother? And, you know, not that that matters, but I'm just saying.
I believe so, Greg. Yeah, I believe so.
He swigs his coffee. I'm really glad that we stuck around for all this Tua stuff. I feel like that has to add. It really added to this.
That has to be a cool thing, like, for celebrities. Like, you know, when you grow up and you, like, admire or idolize someone, then you reach a level where, like, they know who you are. You're like, whoa, I'm meeting Shania Twain. She's like, you're Tua. Do you think Shania knows who Tua is?
That's a good question. Who was your celebrity crush growing up, Greg?
Celebrity crush? Wow. I used to be infatuated with an actress named Susan Day. I think she spelled it D-E-Y. She was about my age, and I was a teenager at the time, and she was the teen daughter in, I think, in the Partridge Family. And
Lori Partridge.
So yeah, old. I think so.
Geico knows there are many reasons why you ride. From the thrill of the revving engine and pure adrenaline of flying down the highway, to the confidence of knowing that Geico always has your back with 24/7 access to claim service. But Ari Snyder has one reason in particular.
I have extremely large upper arms. They won't even fit into most shirts. Thankfully, biking really embraces vest culture, so I feel accepted.
Geico Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.